Okay, so we're starting the regular Gemara today. We're probably spending a good amount of time with certainly this sugya for the next few days, and I'm hoping that we'll, even after Sukkot, we'll probably continue with this Masechta as well. So we're starting on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph with the famous sugya of Osek B'Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah, and as probably saw that a lot of issues that came up already, even in just the first few lines of Mishnah and Gemara here, and we'll try to take up as many of the particular issues as we can in the new Gemara and the Rishonim. Today we're just going to get a little bit started, and as the week progresses, hopefully we'll take up some more of the substantive issues. So I'm assuming everyone got through the Rashi and the Gemara. Maybe we'll just get a volunteer to quickly read through, and then we can move to Tosos. Any volunteer to read quickly the Gemara and Rashi? I'm sorry, the Mishnah and the Gemara? Someone? Okay, Avi Hirschman, stepping up. Thank you.
I just looked at the Torah and the Sukkah. Those who are being sent as messengers to do mitzvah are Pater from the Sukkah. Cholin u Mishma Shehem, the Turin. Sick people and their aid workers are also Pater from the Sukkah. Ochlin Mishotin Arai, Chlisla Sukkah. And you could eat and drink, you know.
Okay, who is that talking about, by the way?
Which one?
The last clause, the last case in the Mishnah.
Everyone.
Right? It's a little tricky because we think that perhaps it pertains to the rest of the Mishnah, but it seems to be a general rule, and that's the halacha in general, that achilas arai is permissible outside the sukkah. Nothing to do with shluchei mitzvah, nothing to do with cholim sham shehem. Those cases are simply what? Mipater. You don't have to tell me I can eat arai. You just tell me I'm pater from sukkah, right? What's the difference between telling me I can eat arai outside the sukkah and telling me that I'm pater from sukkah? There's a difference.
Pater would be even...
Pater, I could eat whatever I want. I don't have to limit it to achilas arai. Achilas arai means not achilas keva. Right? Not a kviyasuda.
Like a small thing, like a snack.
It doesn't have to be small. It could be big as long as it's not halachically considered a suda. I could have a big salad and a big steak and a serving of french fries. If I'm having a certain shear of mazonos or having pas, that's already kviya suna. Okay, so that's the basic Mishnah here. Shluchei mitzvah pater and cholim m'sham sheyam pater. We're going to be spending a good amount of time with just the first line here. Shluchei mitzvah p'tur min asuk. All right, let's see Rashi. Who are these shluchei mitzvah, Avi?
Cholchei b'derech mitzvah. Tikon lo mo Torah
Rabo. What does that mean?
I didn't figure that one out.
Okay, well, just what do the words mean?
To obtain before
the rabbi.
Totally wrong.
So, hochei b'derech mitzvah. Rashi tells you generally, who are the shluchei mitzvah? So the term shluchei usually implies some type of agency, some type of shlichus. Rashi says that's not necessarily the case over here. We're not necessarily saying that you are an agent for someone else and someone else's mitzvah. Rather what? You are holchei b'derech mitzvah. What does that mean? What is holich b'derech mitzvah?
You're going.
You're on your way to do a mitzvah. Holchei b'derech mitzvah. And it gives examples. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but they're instructive. What are the cases that he mentions? Kigon, for example. Don't let me stop you. Go ahead.
Lomo Torah.
That's one example. A guy is traveling from point A to point B for the purpose of learning Torah. Or he's going to hear the shiur. And he wants to go hear the Rebbe Shir, and he's traveling from point A to point B, that's considered Holchei Mitzvah, Holchei B'derech Mitzvah. Go ahead. L'Hakbil Pnei Rabo. What's L'Hakbil Pnei Rabo? Anyone?
About to greet his Rebbe.
Okay, it's not, in general, it sounds like to greet one's Rebbe, but it's a reference here to specific mitzvah. We mentioned earlier that just like there's a halacha that during the time of the Mikdash, one has to engage in Aliyah L'Regel. So too, there is Aloch that one is supposed to be on Yom Tif, one is supposed to be Mekabel Pnei Rabo, supposed to go visit his Rebbe for a different aspect of Simchas Yom Tif, a different aspect of spiritual uplifting. And just the same way one would go Aliyah L'Regel for that purpose, going to visit one's Rebbe, is another aspect of that mitzvah. Now, it could be that it doesn't apply today. That's not the focus of today's shiur. But that's what is meant over here. You're traveling for the purpose of going to Mekabel Pnei Rabo. All right, the third example.
Liftos shivoyim to annul swears, promises.
Liftos to be poda. What does poda mean?
Redeem.
To redeem. Shvuyim?
Captives.
Captives. You're going to redeem a captive. Pidyon Shvuyim is that it's a mitzvah. Right, so any of these things, and not just these things, anything that will be similar, would all be examples of Holchei B'Derech Mitzvah. Good. So a person who's doing this is Pater from Sukkah.
Filu B'Shaz Tani Tan.
Try that again.
Chani Tan.
Good. Chani Yasan.
Chani Yasan.
Chani Yasan. What does that mean? Chani Yasan. Yoni, you know what that means? What's the Shorish of Chani Yasan? Okay, it's the same as the word machane. Machane. Machane is a camp. Chani Yasan, when they are encamped, at the time when they are in camping. So even when you're not traveling per se, you're not holchei b'derech mitzvah actively, b'shas chani yasan, when you're still engaged in the overall process, you're still pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. Okay, we'll have to explain why that's so. Right now, that's the simple pshat over here in the Mishnah. Okay, is that clear? Any questions on the simple meaning of the Rashi's or the Mishnah? Okay, I'm hoping when you prepare, when you're learning with your chavrusas, if you have questions, you're trying on your own to work them out. If not, you're looking for me. That's why I'm here. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. So don't say, well, I throw up your hands and say, I didn't know what it meant, and the rest of the Seder is a waste. Find me, find the dictionary, look it up, ask someone else. But if you're stuck, you know, come and find me. I'm happy to help you. All right? So everyone's clear? We're all on the same page at the moment? So let's go on to the Gemara now.
Good.
Menohani Mili. What does that mean, Menohani Mili?
From where do we know?
From where do we know this? Literally means where we know these words, where are these words from, but we know what it means. It means where is this derived from? Where do you know this rule? Which rule?
The Shulchan Mitzvah.
Good. Where do you know this rule, what we generally refer to as Osek B'Mitzvah, Patam and Mitzvah? So what are you going to tell us?
Tan Rabbanan, B'Shiftecha B'Seifa, Prat L'Osek B'Mitzvah. So it's coming to exclude you when you're involved in a mitzvah.
Good. What is that? What's the pasuk referring to over there?
Shema.
Good. So you have to read the Shema in any number of cases, including B'Shiftecha B'Seifa. So the Gemara says B'Shiftecha B'Seifa, Prat L'Osek B'Mitzvah. To exclude a person who is involved in a mitzvah. Good. Prat l'chasan. So lech t'chav adarech teaches me that who? The chasan is pater from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. You're doing great. Keep going.
Mikan amru, hakonez et ha-betula pater, bet ha-omana chayev.
So it was, did anyone find this odd? Why there was a distinction made here? You tell me chasan's pater. Why distinguish between chasan who's marrying a besula and a chasan who's marrying an almana?
Well, chasan who's marrying a besula is very worried about, you know, things that could go on after the wedding.
Right.
As opposed to, it's really not as much of an issue for a chatan who's marrying an almana.
Okay, good. Right, so what I think you're saying is correct, that the tirda, what Rashi refers to as the tirda, and the Gemara is going to speak this out a little bit later, but the tirda for one who is kones the besula is greater or somehow different than the one who is kones the almana. We'll have to leave that for another time when the Gemara gets into it. Okay?
Continue?
Yes, please.
All right. My mashma, amara kuna, kiderech, that is not b'latacha b'derech, but rather kiderech, like derech, ma derech, rishus,
Kol Rishus, Lafuke Hai. Lafuke? The mitzvah asuk. Good.
The mitzvah asuk.
So, Amar Rav Huna, Kid Derech. What does it mean, Kid Derech?
Not literally on his way, but
like. Like what the Lashon Derech implies, right? It has to be like Derech. If it's like derech, what does derech mean? Derech means you're going out to do something that's not a mitzvah. So ma derech rishos, that's when you're chayev, lech t'chav derech. You're going out to do business, then you're chayev. Av kol rishos, so any rishos, just like that, you're also going to be chayev in shema. La'afuke, that comes to exclude what? Something that's not like that, something that's not kederech, i.e., something that's a mitzvah. Lafuke hai diba mitzvah asuk. Right? It comes to exclude a person who's involved in a mitzvah. That's the basic interpretation over here of the psukim.
This is just talking about Shema, in terms of Shema.
Right. This is the Gemara's proof for the general rule. The Gemara is bringing this braisa from Maseches Brachos, which is dealing with Shema, and the Gemara is using that as a general limud at the moment. Okay? All right, let's take a look at these Rashis, and then we're going to move over to Tosos.
She's the Osek Mitzvah. She ain't a chai of the Kriyat Shema. That he's not chayav in kriyat shema. Kaman mefarish my mashma.
Good.
Lo techa baderech prat lechatan. Af al gav dehu nami b'mitzvah
tarid. Pause. Af al gav dehu nami b'mitzvah tarid. What does that mean? What's he saying? And even though the chasan is what?
Involved.
He's also involved in a mitzvah. It's strichu hu trei kroy. You still need what? Literally means two psukim. Here it means two parts of the pasuk, two limudim. Rashi had a kasha over here. Rashi was bothered by something. I hope everyone caught that. Rashi was bothered by something. He's answering a question. He's telling you something. The question is implicit here. What's the question?
Why do you need two psukim to teach?
Yeah, why do you need two psukim? Teach me the same thing. It's not two psukim again. Why do you need two clauses? You tell me, b'shift chavesecha, tells me what? Osek mitzvah pata min mitzvah. Then you tell me, lech lechav aderech, tells me chosin's pata from kriyishma, because he's involved. Fashtetzach, I would know that already. It's obvious once you tell me osek mitzvah pata min mitzvah. That's Rashi's unspoken kasha. It's not just Rashi, by the way, it's not just Rashi and Shas. Rashi and Chumash also. Very often, part of the challenge of reading Rashi is to know what prompted Rashi to give a certain hesber, to give a certain definition, to give a certain explanation.
What's Rashi?
Yeah, someone actually wrote a book with that title called What's Bothering Rashi? It's first understand the implicit question, the implied question, and then you can appreciate the answer.
Huh? But a chosan might not necessarily be involved in that mitzvah on the night that he gets married. It's not necessarily...
I mean, if he's not able to do that right. mitzvah, right, then that's, so we're not talking about that guy. Right, we're talking about one who's going to be involved in that mitzvah.
So
that type of chasam.
So I believe that this is talking about, I believe in Ksuvos it mentions that he has until that Shabbos. He's osik in that mitzvah, and therefore up until that Shabbos he doesn't have to say Kriya Shema. So, because it could be any night. But I think that maybe, so Rashi, it could be that he's not doing it that night, so he should say Kriya Shema. Like if he already planned it out.
You're giving Rashi the answer, Rashi's answer?
Yeah.
Right, so Rashi's going to explain why I would think that this would not be included in the first category. Okay, I'm not familiar with the Gemara and Ksuvos that you're referring to, but you don't even need to say it's a 3-day window. Let's say it's not a 3-day window. Let's say he's going to do it later. Rashi's saying it's still not like the first case.
He's not going down.
Oh, well, let's read it inside. Okay? But that's Rashi's question. Rashi's question, if you tell me a general rule, you say a guy who's involved in mitzvahs is pater from another mitzvah that comes along, why do you have to come and tell me now a specific limitation? Say, well, you know something? A chassan who's involved in a mitzvah is pater from Shema. So Rashi says, I'll tell you why you need both those psukim, because it's not the same. What's the first pasuk talking about? First pasuk talking about a guy who's involved in a mitzvah. He's osek b'mitzvah. But by the chasan, that's not what we're talking about. Let's read it inside. It's strichi trei kroy. Still need two clauses, two limudim. Why? If it would have only taught me one...
So we would have known about the
Chatan.
Behedja. We would have known clearly what the
case is. Since Chasan is not taught Behedja, it's not stated openly, that's not what's mentioned in the Pasuk.
Behedja, that means specifically?
Yeah, expressly, openly, blatantly. Right? Gem the chasen lav behejik siv bakra. It's not openly said in the pasuk. Hava amina. I would have thought what?
Lo
pater hakasiv ela torach or toreach veosa meleches mitzvah biyadayim. I would think it's only patering. It's only exempting one who is toreach. What does that mean? It's toreach.
Troubling himself.
He's toiling. Good. He's toiling. Veosa meleches mitzvah biyadayim, and he's actively doing what's necessary for a mitzvah. Oh, mahalach mitzvah, a guy who at least is going to a mitzvah. Like, right, the shluchei mitzvah case. But, aval, chosen shu yoshev u'batel, ve'inu osik, ela tori b'machshev as bi'ilo, lo patar akasev. That's what Rashi's answer is. Rashi's telling, you know what? You know why you need two different limudim? Because if we only had the general limud, a person could walk away with the impression that Chosin's not Potter. Why? Because I'll say, what does the general rule teach me? General rule teaches me that only a person who's actively involved in a mitzvah, or in the maybe extended traveling to do the mitzvah, only those types of people are Potter. But a guy just sitting around contemplating the Be'ilas mitzvah and being psychologically tarud, who says that guy's going to be Potter? No basis for saying that. That's what Rashi's saying. I wouldn't necessarily assume that that's called Osek B'mitzvah in the same way that the other two cases are Osek B'mitzvah. It's Kamash Molon that it is. That's the Chiddush. Does everyone understand that? There's a progression here. There's a progression. Osek B'mitzvah. If I were to ask you, without knowing anything, if I were to ask you, who is the Osek B'mitzvah? What would you say? What's the most obvious answer? Guy's doing the mitzvah. Guy's doing the mitzvah. It's also for mitzvah. Okay, so now we're also taught shiluchei mitzvah. Not yet doing the actual maisa mitzvah, but he's holech, b'derech mitzvah. Okay, he's also potter. Now there's a step beyond that. Not only is a person who's osek b'mitzvah b'yadayim, and not only is a person who is holech b'derech mitzvah, but in some cases, even a person who is tarud b'machsheves mitzvah.
Anyone who doesn't have the proper mindset?
No, well, that could be. Could be that if a person can't have kavanah for davening, let's say. His mind is drawn. He's distracted.
During a mitzvah or what?
No. Right now, he didn't yet have be'ilas mitzvah. He didn't sleep with his newlywed wife. And he's distracted. He's thinking about that. Now you tell him, listen, we want you to sit down and say Shema. B'mekabel olmach l'shamayim. Have kavanah to be kavanah olmach l'shamayim. Okay, listen, even a righteous person, it's a difficult thing to do.
So he doesn't have to be
positive. That's what we're being taught here. That's what the Gemara says in Brachos. Okay? All right. So Rashi concludes by saying, what? Hilkach mikro yisera ashmi'ino, de potter mikri yishma, de tarib machshev as bi'ilo. So we learn out from the latter part of the pasuk, from the second clause, that the chasin is potter. Why? Because he's tarib in machsheves be'ilas mitzvah. That's Rashi's answer.
Is there any like face project for mitzvahs after the bi'il that because it's just basula?
No, you mean when the Gemara says basula, it's only up to the point where he's done the mitzvah. I mean after that, why? Because there's a greater. I mean, he's distracted. Post?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that's the case. Okay. Doesn't seem that's the case. Right. No, it seems it's leading up to the mitzvah. Okay. So let's take a look at Tosos now. Thank you, Avi. That was well done. Someone else? Yoni, you want to give it a try? Tosos? Okay, take it away. Shluchei. Second Tosos. Chafei Amralis. Second Tosos.
Okay, Davar Mitzvah.
Good.
Udus.
The liftos shuyin.
Turim and hasoda. Rafilu shas chaniyasan.
Chaniyasan, good. What does that mean? Chaniyasan.
Fenced in or
chaniyasan.
Like encamped.
Good. When they're at rest. When they're at rest, the guy's traveling 2 days away to go to the shir. He's traveling 2 days away to go see his rebbe. He's traveling 2 days away to be poded the shvuyim, and at night he has to sleep over. Rashi said that even when he sleeps over, he's potter from sukkah. Kach pirish bekuntras. The chen mashmarim gemara.
Wait, what's, oh, okay.
Right, so Tosfos brings that pshat, which is Rashi's pshat, and he says, you want to know the truth? It's mashma this way in the Gemara itself, where, on Chav Vav Amid Aleph, when the Gemara says what? Dekamar,
hochei l'davar mitzvah,
l'davar mitzvah, right, when it's bismichut, you change the nikud. That would be dvar mitzvah.
So somebody,
someone who's going to engage in a mitzvah, Potter min asoka, when? Good.
Mashma implies, afal pish in hochen ela biyom.
Good. When's the guy traveling for the purpose of the mitzvah?
Only during the day.
By day. How do I know that, says Telsos? How do I know that's what's meant?
D'i, da'azle,
biyamama, ubalayla. If you tell me that the guy's traveling by day and by night, if that's what was meant.
Afilu davar rishas nami.
Right, Dvar Hershos. Again, say the Dvar Hershos. Nami Petiri. If he's traveling by day and by night, then even if it's a Dvar Hershos that he's traveling for, he's going to be Potter. Why is that, Sammy?
Wait, what's the Dvar?
Why is he going to be Potter if it's Dvar Hershos? Because we have a different rule. If he's got guy's traveling for the purpose of a Rishos, Dvar Hershos means he's going for business, he's got a deal. He sells camels and he has a good deal in the next town, so he has to travel to the next town to make the sale or to make the purchase. That's called Dvar Hashos. So even though he's only traveling for Dvar Hashos, he's Potter at the time when he's actually traveling. Right? If it's by day or by night, he's Potter either one. If he's traveling both, he's Potter for both. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says on Chavav Amaral, if that what? Holchei drachim are potter,
right?
When are the holchei drachim potter? During the time that they travel. What about the dvar mitzvah? The Tosa says, oh, that's the chiddush over here. The chiddush is that the person who's holchei dvar mitzvah is potter even when what? Even when they're encamped and not traveling, not actively traveling. Because if you tell me they're actively traveling, that's poshut. Because even the guy who's traveling for business is Potter. Right? Yes, no?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Even business?
That's what the Gemara says later on, Chafav. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to that yet, but that's what the Gemara that Tosos is referring to.
Way to spoil
it. Right? He's going for Dvar Hashos. He's Potter, calls man and he's traveling. When he's not traveling, he's Chayiv. Oh, but the one who's traveling for the mitzvah? No, he's Potter, even B'Shas Chaniyoso. When what? When he's not actively doing the mitzvah or even traveling for the mitzvah. He's at rest. That's the chiddush. Okay, go ahead. Good, he says, I have another raya, another proof. What's the other proof? Or further proof? What's uvda mean? Good. The maisa case. Good. What were they doing?
They were ganu.
Before they were ganu.
They were uvda.
The uvda means that was a maisa. What were they doing? they were going to see the Reish Galusa. They were going to see the Reish Galusa. They want to hear the Reish Galusa shir. So they're going to hear the Reish Galusa shir and to greet the Reish Galusa. And what did they do? It was Sukkot's time. What did they do? Now they were ganu. Now ganu. Ganu.
Ganu.
Yeah. Ariksa the Sura.
They were encamped on the banks of the river.
Good. They encamped on the banks of the river. River. And not where?
Not
in a sukkah. They slept out. They camped out. But they were not in the sukkah. Why? Oh, because ultimately they were headed to whose house? The Reish Galusa. They wanted to hear the Reish Galusa Shia. They wanted to greet the Reish Galusa. So because of that, they felt it was appropriate to sleep outside even without a sukkah. Okay? So that's all in support of the basic rendition of the Mishnah's case. Now Tosus gets into his question. V'tema.
Tema. Im yicholin l'kayim shnehem. If
Good. What does that mean? Okay, yeah. Mekayim means to be Mekayim, to get to have a kiyum, to fulfill.
Shneihem.
Shneihem. What does Shneihem mean?
Two.
Both of them.
Both of them. So even though they both had
he's asking a question. He's asking a question. Vitema.
Alright.
What's the question? If you're talking about a case where a person can fulfill both of them,
mm-hmm.
meaning the two mitzvahs in question,
right.
the one that you're currently involved with, and the one that you're now confronting. If you can keep that, if you can do them both.
Wait, what are the two?
It's a general issue. Again, remember, Osir for mitzvah, Patur for mitzvah is a general issue. I'm involved in one mitzvah, and now I'm confronted by a second mitzvah. And we don't know the parameters yet. There could be hundreds of different permutations here, but right now, Tosus is going to give us one of the Gidarim in the context of this rule. And he says, if you're talking about a case we have two mitzvahs, one of which you're already involved with, one of which that you're not confronting, and the second one could be done without sacrificing the first one. You could do both of them. They could both be done without problem. So what's the rule? What should be the case?
Am I concerned?
Why should you be potter? Why should I tell you that you're potter from the second mitzvah? Do them both. This is part of his kasha.
Adam Shiesh Lo Tzitzis Bebegdo Va Tfilin Barosho.
Good.
Mi Pater Bekach Mishar Mitzvos.
Good, it's a kasha. You gotta read a little bit more inflection, but what's
I those, at
the end. A little bit. Not with a question mark.
Right.
Like because of.
Right.
You gonna tell me because a guy is wearing tzitzis and tfilin that what? They spotted from other mitzvahs.
But those are very passive mitzvahs.
Ah, that's exactly right. That's exactly
passive
right.
Mitzvahs.
Passive.
Passive.
Passive mitzvahs. Passive. Tosa's saying, look.
Sleeping in a sukkah be passive? Obviously. It's sleeping.
Listen, that's his kasha. Why should you tell me that he can't do mitzvah B just because he's doing mitzvah A? What? How is mitzvah B going to take away from his ability to continue doing mitzvah A? Right. So let's keep reading. So a guy's wearing tzitzis, wearing tefillin. It also says, why should that guy be potter? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not potter.
Why wouldn't you just assume that in all these cases they're talking about when it's conflicting with doing the other mitzvah?
We don't have a right to assume anything. Tulsus now is introducing.
Saying, wouldn't that be the obvious assumption that in all the cases, in the cases, in Mishnah and in Rashi, that they're talking about when it's conflicting with another mitzvah? Because you wouldn't just say like
Oseik b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah. You're making
the case that it's that.
But why? You're making a certain assumption. You're making a certain assumption about why you patur.
Wouldn't that be the obvious assumption? Like, isn't that
still an assumption?
Yeah, but all the time.
Chaim, we will see that there is a machlokus on this very issue. We will see there's a machlokus on this very issue, and that is when it's Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem, right? When you can do both of them, not everyone is in agreement that you're chayav to do the second mitzvah. Right? And that may hinge on how you learn the basis for the patur, the basis for the rule. Why is it that Oseik B'mitzvah is Patur B'mitzvah? So we'll have to get there. But your question is a good one. You're saying maybe it would be logical to assume that I'm only going to be potter insofar as the second mitzvah interferes with my first mitzvah.
Yeah, but maybe you'll say also that.
But you're making a certain assumption about the reason for the patur. Right? It's true. If the reason for the patur is because I'm involved in another mitzvah and I don't have a right to stop one mitzvah and do another mitzvah, let's say, then fine. But let's say that's not the patur. That's not the basis for the patur.
Even in this case, it would seem that when you're sleeping, when you're in camp or whatever,
right.
sleeping.
Oh, you're not yet sleeping.
You're not traveling or whatever.
Right, you're not traveling.
Meaning, then you wouldn't be Patur and Sukkah because it doesn't really interfere with your travel. So this specific case where
unless you have to I mean, unless because you had to sleep in a sukkah, you couldn't travel that distance. You had to stop in the right town, but it could totally interfere.
Okay, good. So that's what Pesach was suggesting earlier when we spoke about this, that maybe the reason why, and again, we have to see, the reason why when you're encamped, there's still something of a heter is because maybe that's going to interfere with your ability to do the mitzvah properly. But let's just hear out Tosfos' discussion, and we could try to discuss it. So what's his point? Yoni, if you don't mind.
The pater ain't been mudar.
So now, he said like this, you're going to tell me a guy who's wearing tefillin and tzitzis are pater from, he's pater from other mitzvahs, mishar mitzvahs, ubeperek ain't been hamudar. It's a gemara nedarim, that's the perek in Maseches Nedarim. Gabi hamudar hana'a, I could still return an aveda to a person, even though amuda hana from him. Af al pi the mahani le pruta de Rav Yosef. Why? Mishum de lo shchicha. So I put this on the Mar Mekomah sheet. I don't know if anyone noticed it. There's another gemara there. Did someone have the sheet? The sheet's on the shulchan. I'll mention it outside. Yeah, there's a little gemara there in Bava Kama which discusses this case, which is generally referred to as Pruta de Rav Yosef. So the gemara wants to know what is the status of a person who is watching an aveda that he's trying to return. What type of shomer is he?
In what?
I find your aveda, and your object. I find a lost object, and I'm trying to find its owner. I'm responsible for the object. Once I pick it up, I have responsibility to maintain the object and to protect it, to keep it safe.
It's a shomer chinam, right?
So that's the question. Am I a shomer chinam or am I a shomer sachar? So the Gemara says that, what's that?
Do different halachas apply?
Yeah, different halachas apply.
Why would it be a shomer sachar?
I'm glad you asked. So the Gemara presents the shita of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says like this, Kishomer sachar dami, you're a shomer sachar. Why? Behahi hana de lo boi le mesve le rifta la anya have kishomer sacha. Ika de mefarish hachi, Rav Yosef amr kishomer sacha dami, kevin de rachmana shabde bal karche, hilkach kishomer sacha dami. So, within the first hezber, the first mahalach in the Gemara, this is what's generally referred to as the concept of prutu de Rav Yosef. It's not just here, it comes up elsewhere in Shas. Notice Prutu de Rav Yosef. What's the case of Prutu de Rav Yosef? So, following. Since this fellow, who now has someone else's Aveda in his possession, he is considered Osek B'mitzvah, right? He's involved with the return of someone else's object. That's a mitzvah. He's Osek B'mitzvah. So, he's potter from giving tzedakah during the time when he's Osek. He's potter from giving tzedakah. So now, if he's parted from giving tzedakah because he's being shomer the aveda of someone else, so now he has a benefit, he has some form of a revach that inures to him as a result. What's the benefit? And again, this is a separate question. Why it's a benefit, that's not our issue, but there's a benefit here that he doesn't now have to give out tzedakah. He doesn't have to dole out tzedakah to an ani that comes. Why? Because he's osek with this, aveda. So since that's the case, since he now has a bit of a hana, or some type of revach, whatever money he would have had to otherwise give out to the ani now is his, he could keep. So we say that he now is a shomer sachar. That's what's known as pruta de Rav Yosef. This pruta that he would have otherwise given out, it's like he gets to keep it. He gets to keep it as a result of being involved with this object, and therefore it's like he's getting paid. It's like a shomer sachar. What?
Big stretch.
Okay, like I said, I don't want to discuss that whole sugya. It's a separate sugya. But that's what Tosfos is referring to over here. How is that nogeya? How is that nogeya? So Tosfos says, go ahead, Yoni. Gabi hamuda hanam demachzul avedaso afal pi demahani lepruta de Rav Yosef. In other words, even though I'm getting hana'a by returning your aveda, so normally we say if I'm muda hana'a from you, I can't get any benefit from you. The guy makes a nether. I'm not going to be nehenet at all from Ploni. And now he finds Ploni's Aveda. He's allowed to be Toreach in Ploni's Aveda, even though he's going to get a benefit from it. The benefit being that Prutu de Rav Yosef. that if the ani comes, he won't have to give out stock at the ani, he's going to get that benefit of that pruta. Okay? So that's a form of a benefit. But that's mutter. Tosas is bringing his gemara in why. That's mutter. I think we have to keep reading to fully appreciate it. Afal pi de mahani le pruta de Rav Yosef mishum d'lo shchicha. So that's not a regular occurrence. It's not so common that that's going to happen, right? It's not so common that that's going to happen, and he's going to get the hana. Meaning, it's not so common that it's going to happen that I'm going to be confronted by an ani at a time when I'm going to be able to benefit from this aveda. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'll say this shchiach. I could say this shchiach. What do you mean? Every time I pick up an aveda, I'm going to be now in a state where I'm going to be nana in this manner. So he says, no, because it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work from the moment you pick up the aveda that now you're potter from giving tzedakah. When is it that you're potter from giving tzedakah? The e calls mancha aveda beveso miftar milo mesiv rifta la'ani. If you'll tell me that the guy is potter from giving tzedakah, calls man that he has the aveda in his house and he's involved in it in a general way, then what? Imkein shchichahi. That is shchiach. And that should be aser. Right? We don't go there on things that are not shchiach. Things that are not normal, things that are not common, are not part of gzeris. Right? You make a gzera on what's normal, on what's general, on what's generic. So this is not common. Tosa says, one second. If you'll tell me that the benefit of not having to give tzedakah to the ani sets in as soon as I pick up your aveda, because now I'm osik b'mitzvah, then it is shchiach. Because every time I pick up an aveda, I'm going to have a situation of hana. Right? Let's say it takes me a week to give out the aveda, or however long it takes me, I'm going to always be nana from your aveda. Okay? Who is anyone not with me? Great. Ela vada lo miftar, ela when? Yoni? Bisha?
Shehu
Osek Ba. Kigon. So when is it that you actually potter from giving tzedakah?
When I'm
involved with your aveda. What does that mean, I'm involved with your aveda? He gives an example. Kigon. Right. I found a garment. And now I have to find the owner of this garment. So I can't just leave it crumpled up in a ball and thrown in a corner. I gotta tend to it. I take it and I'm shotcha. What does shotcha mean?
You
spread it out.
Spread it out.
Okay, hang it up, I spread it out. Letzorcha, for its own sake. Oh. Let's say I find it's wet and I have to hang it up to dry. Or I find it and it needs to air out. And I have to do certain things to tend to it. That's involvement.
Oh, behema.
Or I find a lost animal, and what do I have to do while I'm looking for the owner of the lost animal? I gotta feed it. So at the time when I'm feeding it, right? The time when I'm feeding it,
Shibosa
Shah Yavo Oni Lishomi Menu. Vitzarach Lomar, before we get to that, what's he saying? He says that's the case in the Gemara. Those cases are not Shkiyah. Those cases are not common. And it's not so common that you're going to find this guy's donkey, you're going to take his donkey into your house, and at the very moment that you are feeding the donkey, a pail of oats, that's when the ani is going to come. That's why you're allowed to be osek with his aveda, even though you were mudah hana from him. Because it's a very infrequent type of occurrence that you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be nehenah in this way from his aveda. So that's mudah. Okay, but his point is that you're not osek, you're not considered osek to the extent that you're potter unless you're what?
Okay.
Unless you're actively involved with it. The fact that it's in your house and you're protecting it, you're guarding and watching it, that's very passive. Like Avi Hirschman said, that's passive. So on a passive involvement, we don't say osek when it's a potter in a mitzvah. Why? What's the buzz words for Tosos?
You're not really osek.
Well, that's not what he says. I mean, I'm sort of... No, lo shchicha is only in the case of the nedarim, why it's not violative of your neder.
So then why?
What about when he says v'teima?
Why are you putter when it's chaniyasan? That's very passive.
Oh, you're going to have to explain that. No question about it. You're going to have to explain it. That's what he's getting to. That's the V.A. Shlomar. But what's Tosos' rule here? Kayim Shneya. Efshel Kayim Shneya. Tosos holds there's no rule of Osik B'mitzah, Potom and Mitzah. When what? When it's Efshel Kayim Shneya.
When it's possible to.
There's no such rule of Osik B'mitzah, Potom and Mitzah in a case where it's Efshel Kayim Shneya. Right? You asked me before, well, why? It should be obvious. That's Tosos saying. Right? Tosos is saying, you're right. There is no rule, there is no application of the general rule of Osek B'mitzvah, Patur B'mitzvah, in a case where it's Efshel Kayim Shneim. Now, we still need to explain that further. We need to understand why that is. But the moment we at least could appreciate Tosos' position that when it's Efshel Kayim Shneim, there is no such thing as Osek B'mitzvah, Patur B'mitzvah. And let's just read a little further. V'yish Lomar. When I say we, Yoni, I mean you.
Tzarech
Lomar, sorry, Tzarech Lomar. Yeah.
Tzarech Lomar, the Hacha, Nami,
Irei, we're dealing with.
Diki, Hai, Gavna. Di, Mitter, De, Meter, De.
What's saying? Slow.
Yeah.
So the Hachanami here too, Ari, we're dealing with the Chihai Gavna in such a case, the E Mitridi Bikiya Mitzvah Sukkah have a Mavatli Mitzvahs. Now he didn't explain further, but what's he saying?
This is an exception.
It would interfere with the other mitzvahs.
Somehow, by keeping Sukkah at that time, right, it would interfere with your mitzvah. Somehow. What's his kasha? His kasha is, listen, it's very nice you're going to see your Rebbe. It's very nice you're going to do Pidyon Shvuyim. It's very nice that you want to go learn. But what does it have to do with Sukkah? How is doing Sukkah going to prevent you from doing the other mitzvah? It's Efshel Kayim Shneim. You can do both. Sit in the Sukkah and continue on your way. When is it that you potter? Oh, it's only when it's Efshel Kayim Shneim. So Tosfos doesn't go the full mile and tell you how it's the case, but he says if it's so that you putter, it's only because what? Somehow doing the mitzvah of Sukkah is going to prevent you from doing the other mitzvah.
I just ask you what the words mean.
Yes.
Irei, we're dealing.
B'chi hai gavna, with such a case.
Okay.
Such a case. B'chi hai gavna, such a case. The E Mitridi, that if we would tell him to be Torah, be Kiyam Mitzvah Sukkah, if we would require him to be Torah with the mitzvah of Kiyam Mitzvah Sukkah, what's going to happen? Somehow, it's going to adversely affect his other mitzvahs.
So he's saying Sukkah is an exception to his rule?
No, he's saying it's not an exception. He's saying when you tell me that you can't, you put it from Sukkah because you're going to do these other things, generally, we only say it's Efshel Kayim, only it's Efshel Kayim Shneim. So it must be that we're talking about a case that somehow it's not, it's not Efshel Kayim Shneim. I.e., if we tell the guy you have to go and build a sukkah, then maybe he won't be able to properly do Pidyon Shvuyim, like we were discussing before. You know, maybe he'll be, he doesn't say, but we could conjecture. Right? Maybe a guy will be so tired or will be so exhausted and spent from having to do the sukkah that he won't be able to do Pidyon Shvuyim properly. Or maybe because he has to sleep outside, as opposed to sleeping inside in a house, he won't feel well rested. He won't be able to do the mitzvah properly. Okay, I understand we're opening up a bit of a Pandora's box here. Tosfos is just very general, it's very obtuse here. So somehow, it's not going to allow you to fully do the other mitzvah.
Well, that makes sense. You have a million examples.
Yeah, I understand. That's why I'm saying. When it comes to halacha lemaisa, you could see where it's going to be something of a slippery slope. Well, what falls into this category? I can't properly do that mitzvah if I do sukkah. Right? I won't record this, but I think maybe the question is a broader question. What does it mean, E'eshel Kayim Shneihem? Does it mean that I can't do them at all? Or does it mean that one's going to detract from the other one? right? Obviously, I could say, okay, I'll stop feeding the animal. I'll go give the guy the tzedakah, and I'll go back to feed the animal. The animal's going to be just as fat as he would have been had I not stopped, right? Instead of giving him a whole bucket at once, I give him half a bucket, I come back 2 minutes later, I give him the rest of it. That's your kasha, right?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So I think that indicates on some level that yesh l'kayim shneihem is not simply that you won't be able to do it. It's that you can't do them at the moment. You can't do them together. But to do one would necessitate a detraction from the other, at least while you're doing it. At the moment, that's what I have to say. But that's a very good point.
Let's say, I mean, a good case to prove that you can't do them together is, let's say, it's a special type of animal that you find, and you know because you have one.
Right.
And you know that this animal, you have to feed specially because otherwise it's going to choke. And you have to be extremely osic.
Yeah, that for sure. That for sure. You would not be able to stop being vigilant over the animal. But that's an exceptional case. I don't think we have to, but that would be a good example. Okay, let's just scratch into the round here a little bit.
Because, like, let's say you find a baby animal or something.
Right. But I think we have to try to find the explanation that works for all cases. But what you're saying would certainly be true. Certainly would be true. Okay, everyone is aware that the round is in the back of the Gemara?
Why can't you say that it's just on that Kavana?
Okay, what kind of kavanah? Do I need to feed an animal to get tzedakah?
No, just in all these cases.
It's not talking about kavanah. The only case that's kavanah oriented so far is the chasam case.
I'm saying, why can't you say the other case?
Because they don't require any kind of special kavanah. What kind of kavanah do they require? Feeding the animal.
Let's say the point is that when you're doing pidyon shvuyim,
right?
You're supposed to be focused on that action, but yeah. If you lose focus on it, then it's taken away from the mitzvah.
What is that?
That would seem to be the easiest.
Is that true? No. I'm traveling from point A to point B the whole time. I have to be focused mentally on pidyon shvuyim. I don't think that. I don't think that's true. I mean, again, to also have a question of mitzvah svichas kavana, but certainly at the time when I'm holy l'dvar mitzvah, I don't think anyone would say that you need to have kavana that whole time. That's a big stretch. Okay, the Ran is on Daf Yud Aleph in the Daf Yarif. Yud Aleph Amud Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the middle of the Dibra Masel of Ika. Yud Aleph Amud Aleph in the Daf Yarif? What's that?
Which? I'm on the Ran, actually.
Yeah, that's right, you're in the right place.
Right place.
Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Says Ran on the top, says Rabbeinu Nissim. But these are referred to as the Dapei Arif because it's the Rif who has center stage here instead of the Gemara.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong place.
You're not in the wrong place.
It doesn't look the same as that.
You might be on the wrong page, but you're not in the wrong place.
You're not from an Aleph.
Okay, keep going.
Far down?
It's in Dibra Maskel V'Ika towards the end of that paragraph. Nearly. Lefikach nearly, yeah. It's about 4 or 5 lines up before Umihu.
Yeah.
You got it? Nearly the Ha'osek? Someone who has it, want to read it?
He's about the parentheses.
Sam, you want to do it?
Sure.
Go ahead. It's 2 lines below the parentheses. Fikach.
Lefikach nearly the Ha'osek b'mitzvah poter min ha'mitzvah af al pish yachol l'kayim eshtehen.
So what does the Ran say? Basically, Tosos, I disagree. I disagree. Even what? Even if it's Yachol Kayim Shteihem, I think you're still Pater. You still say, you still invoke the rule, Osek Mitzvah Pater Mitzvah. Even when what? Yachol Kayim Shteihem. So this is going to be a fundamental machlokas. Well, let's go on a little bit.
V'hahi b'nedarim.
Now, what about your raya Tosos? Your raya from the Gemara in the Darim, Pruta de Rav Yosef. That was a good raya, right? It was a good raya. So, how am I going to answer up that raya?
Lo mochacha mede.
Lo mochacha midi. What does that mean?
Doesn't prove a thing.
Doesn't prove a thing. I disagree with you, and your raya is worthless. Why?
Devadai Bisha Shaveda Mishumaris Betevasa Lo Mepater.
Lo Miftar.
De Oseg Bemitzvah.
Amrinan.
Amrinan. Velo Mekayan Mitzvah.
Stop. The Ron's giving a different reason. Okay, they're both addressing the same case. Tosa says, you know why the Shomer of the Aveda is only Pater when he's actively trying to tend to the object or to return the object, but not when it's simply in his drawer or on his table? Tosa says, why? Because it's only when you're actually Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem or E'Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem that we Pater you. If it's E'Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem, then you Pater. If it's Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem, then you Chayev. So when the Aveda is on your table, you could go out and do another mitzvah. Why has that impinge on your Kima mitzvah? Right? But the Ran has to deal with that Gemara. So what does the Ran say? He says, you know what, Tosos? I don't think that's true. And I don't think your Raya is a good Raya. Because what does that Gemara tell us? Why are you Pater from that in that case? Why are you Pater only when you're actually dealing with the Aveda, but not when the Aveda is simply in your home? You read it, so...
You're not Osek.
What are you doing? He has a Lashon there. Read it again.
You're just being Mishu Maris.
No, read the Lashon again. What do we say? The Osek B'mitzvah Amrinan. Osek B'mitzvah Amrinan. And not what? V'lo Mekayim Mitzvah. V'lo Mekayim Mitzvah.
Only when you're involved, but not fulfilling.
Fulfilling is not the reason for the Patur.
Obligated?
No, fulfilling. Fulfilling is right. It's the Ran is distinguishing between being mekayim a mitzvah and fulfilling a mitzvah. Let's go back to the basic question. A guy is sitting with his talis cut, right? He's being a mekayim a mitzvah of tzitzis. He's wearing dalad kanfos. He's wearing a garment with four corners that's chayiv with tzitzis. He now puts tzitzis on and he's sitting in the base manager. He's wearing tzitzis. Do we say that guy is pater from mitzvahs all day? Because he's in the process of fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis?
Of course not.
No. Why, according to Tosos, is he not pater from other mitzvahs?
Because you can be mekayim shteihem.
Because it's efshar l'kayim shteihem. What about the Ran? Why does the Ran say that guy is not pater?
He's not osek.
The reason for the patur is for the person who's osek. But someone who's simply what? Mekayim is not the patur. It's not that I'm pater from doing another mitzvah because I'm in the state of being mekayim another mitzvah. That's not enough to remove my obligation from another mitzvah. So the Ran can look at that proof text, the Gemara Nedarim, and say, you know what, Tosos? That's not a raya. Because I'll give you a different reason why that guy is pater. He's not pater because efshar l'kayim shteihem, e'efshar l'kayim shteihem. He's pater when what? When he's osek. But when he's simply in a state of being Mekayim, that's not enough. And therefore, says the Ran, what about Efshar L'Kayim Shteihem? It's not necessarily a Patur. Efshar L'Kayim Shteihem, if he's Osek, if he's Osek B'mitzvah, Efshar L'Kayim Shteihem is not a Patur. Yes? No? Should I say it again?
Yeah.
Av, you want to say it over?
No.
Yoni? Someone? Okay, Tosos introduced this concept of Efshar L'Kayim Shteihem. Efshar L'Kayim Shteihem says Tosos, you could do both mitzvahs. I could continue to do the first mitzvah, and I could, or I don't have to sacrifice my first mitzvah, and I could do the second mitzvah. Then I don't say what? I don't say Osek B'mitzvah Patur B'mitzvah. I don't use the rule of Osek B'mitzvah Patur B'mitzvah when I could do both, because that was not the intent of the rule of Osek Mitzvah Patur B'Mitzvah. Now again, we have to take that a step further. But for the moment, Tosos is saying, when I can do both mitzvahs, I'm not Patur. When I can't do both mitzvahs, E'efshar L'Kayim Shteihem, oh, that's when you're Patur. So why, in our case of Sukkah, is the guy Patur? We just tell him, make your Sukkah and do your mitzvah. Oh, he says, it must be, we're talking about a case where building the Sukkah is going to somehow take away from your mitzvah. It has to be. As a raya for this approach, Tosos cited a Gemara in the Darim. The Gemara in the Darim basically says that if you're involved with your friend's Aveda and an Ani comes and asks you for tzedakah, then you're Pater. if you simply have your friend's Aveda, but you're not actively involved at the moment, then what? Then you're not Potter from giving tzedakah. Why? Because it's Efshel, Kayim Shteihem. You can continue to keep his Aveda in your drawer, continue to keep his Aveda on your table, and give the tzedakah. Right? It's Efshel, Kayim Shteihem. Shalma Yisrael, no problem. So the Ran says, I disagree. I say, Efshel, Kayim Shteihem doesn't remove Osik B'mitzah, Potter B'mitzah. Efshel, Kayim Shteihem, you're still Chayiv. I'm sorry, excuse me, you're still Potter. We still say Osik B'mitzah, Potter B'mitzah. Also, what about the Gemara Nedarim? It's a different distinction. What's the distinction? Kiyam versus Osik. So according to the Ran, the Geder, right? The hallmark of Osik, Mitzvah, Potter, and Mitzvah is Osik. Involved. Toiling. I'm actively involved in the Mitzvah. That's when I say Osek B'mitzvah, Potter B'mitzvah. But not when I'm in a state of Kiyam. Wearing tzitzis, I'm just Mekayim B'mitzvah. But I'm not doing anything. I'm not Osek. No one's going to call me an Osek B'mitzvah, says the Ran. That's why I'm still Chayim in other mitzvahs. Not because of Eshel Kayim Shteihem.
So when is he saved by the Chatzim?
They happen to agree on that case. But there's going to be major nafkaminas in other cases. Oh, one thing at a time.
Wait, so what does he say about the chasim?
They're not talking about the chasim. They're not addressing the chasim.
Okay.
They're talking about the jet.
He's not actively involved in the mitzvah,
is he? That's special case of tirda mitzvah. Of tirda of bilas mitzvah. We're not talking about that now.
Okay. The Tosfos would say that if you're wearing tzitzis, then you...
Tosfos would agree. Tzitzis and tefillin, you still have to do other mitzvahs. Why? Because it's efshir.
Oh, is it possible?
So here's the nafkamina. According to the Ran, if you have a case where it's Efshel Kayim Shteihem, but you're Osek, you're Osek, but it's Efshel Kayim Shteihem,
Potter.
You're still Potter.
Right.
According to Tosfos, you're not Potter.
So what's the thing, Kiyam?
He says that's the distinction that you should make in the Gemara Nedarim. That simply being in a state where you're fulfilling a mitzvah, that's why you're still Chayev. Because that's not Osek.
What does that
say? Active involvement. Active, hisaskos. Let's just finish out this rhyme. Afa pisha efshel kaim eshtehen velachzor lenaro elabahi gavna lo shchiach v'haynu taima demifta rachmana chasam chayim. That's why the chasam is part there. Afa gavda efshel lisuve daite lo kaim eshtehen, because that's not what we require. Efshel Kayim Shteihem is still a patur. Kedekasivna yalfilan kolshu osik b'malachas b'malachto shel mokom lo chayvaso teru lechorach ulekayim mitzvos acheras afal pisha efshar. That line is key for explaining the svara of the Ran. Let me just repeat the last line. Something to think about. The Ran says, you know why Efshel Kayim Shteihem is not enough to tell me that you still chayav? Because kol shehu osik b'malachto shel makom, when you're involved and you're toiling in the malacha of Hashem, you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing a malachas ha-makom, lo chayvaso toru l'troch l'chayim mitzvos acheros. Even though you're efshar, the Torah didn't obligate you to get involved in another mitzvah. The Torah said, this is your obligation, this is your hisaskos, you're not mechuyav to get involved in another mitzvah, even though it's feasible. That's the Ran. Now we got to, maybe try to hone that a little bit.
So
explain the Ran.
Why does he say...
I can give a few cases where even if you were Osek, you'd still have to go over because the other mitzvahs take priority.
Ah, we'll see. There are exceptions. I'm saying, you had a question?
Why does he say the Chasen is Pater for the same reason as Tosfos?
Yeah, this is the same reason. He's Osek. Someone said, that's an Hisaskos. That's a form of Hisaskos. He's involved.
Even though he's not doing anything.
That's what he says here. That's Taima the Chasam. What was the lesson again?
That's a separate learning after the Chasam.
Haynu Taima the Mifta Rachmana Chasam. Afagav the Efshel Yisuve Daita. We don't tell him, listen, buddy, like Pesach suggested, calm yourself down, and now you go do the other mitzvah. The Ran says, no. On some level, he's called Asuk. He's Asuk. And because it's a different level of Asuk, but because he's Asuk, that's it, he's Potter.
Right.
Even though maybe technically we could tell him, it's relax, calm down, have Yishev Adas and go do your mitzvah. No, the Ran says you don't do that. You're not required to do that. He is considered Osek, that's it. Even though it's Afshel Kayim Shnayim.
But Tosfos would require him to do other mitzvahs because he can. Because
he can, that's right. Not necessarily Chasan. Not necessarily Chasan because that's the Mishnah, that's the Gemara.
Because the
Gemara, the Lima, right.
That's what Tosfos would say. But.
Well, Tosfos is going to have to give another answer. He's going to have to say it's E Afshel Kayim Shnayim. He's going to have to say that doing the Shema, the fact that he's now involved in the other mitzvah is not going to allow him to do Shema properly. He's not. It's E Afshel. Tosfos is going to have to learn it's E Afshel Kayim Shnayim. Exactly. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, in addition to whatever new Marmikomos we have, I want you to focus on this machlok between the Ran and Tosos with regard to Afshel Kayim Shdayim.
Yes.
I will review it. Yeah.